World War II has been the subject of numerous feature films and documentaries over the years, including major productions made during the war by every combatant country involved. Lesser known, however, are the countless short films made by governments to promote the war effort, educate audiences, and inspire suffering nations to greater sacrifice. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Indiana University recently made available a host of educational and propaganda films made during World War II through an expansive online exhibition. My guest helped organize and curate the exhibition. Andy Urick is the film archivist at Indiana University Library's Moving Image Archive, and I'm happy to have him on the program today. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a delight. World War II and film are two of my favorite subjects. I have to say that it's perfect timing. I think a lot of people have noticed the 70th anniversary of D-Day this summer, and there's been a lot of looking back at those momentous years of the war because of that anniversary. You've helped curate an enormous and expansive exhibition online of propaganda films titled World War II Propaganda Films and IU, the IU being Indiana University. I gather Indiana University was a leading distributor of these films during the war?
Yeah, exactly. Indiana University, along with a lot of other sort of state universities comparable, had been distributing films since around the teens for educational purposes. So they'd be sent out free throughout their own state. So in Indiana University, we would distribute films to classrooms and to public organizations. Starting around World War II, along with everyone in the nation, the university devoted itself to the war effort. And one of those things was producing and distributing films related to the war. You know, you mentioned the anniversary of D-Day, and we thought it would be great to put up a certain percentage of the films we have from that time period.
So Indiana University for decades had already created kind of a network of distribution points and knew how to do all that. And when the war came along, it was just an easy way to get these films out into the public.
Exactly. And the war sort of hardened up a lot of the networks that were already there, and it allowed it to become sort of more official. And it allowed Indiana to become sort of, and this was happening in other states as well, to become sort of the network point for the government and the Army and the Navy, the military, to sort of reach individuals throughout the state. Without television, it was sort of the quickest and most efficient way to reach large audiences.
The subtitle for the exhibition is Audiovisual Production, Circulation, and Education in the 1940s. I gather from looking at a number of these films online in the last few days that Indiana University did not actually produce the films. Where did most of these films come from?
Yeah, it was a wide range of places. So government agencies such as the Office of War Information made films. All the branches of the military made films. There was the Signal Corps that was shooting films as well. Other countries, in England, they had the Crown Film Unit that would make these sort of films. But also a lot of the companies that were making what were called industrial or sponsored films before the war were also making these films. One, both for these government agencies and also to sort of help the war effort on their own. But also companies such as Better Homes and Gardens sponsored a film. So it was across the board, these were sort of being made.
What's interesting, I think, for those who take the time to go look at the exhibition is, you know, it's a type of film that most people are not used to seeing. You mentioned industrial filmmaking and maybe a lot of the types of production that was already happening, but corporately or for very specific uses that the broader population that just went to the movies was really not aware of. And that's one of the fascinating things about these films, I think.
You're right that these wouldn't have been played in like a movie theater, but they would have been played everywhere. You know, they would have been played in churches. They would have been played at your workplace. They would have been played at your, your private club that people would be members of. They've been played in schools. So you're right that they weren't, you know, in the movie theater before the feature film, though some of them were played that way.
So we can differentiate them to, I think, some people, even lay people who don't know a lot about film history, have seen a newsreel or an example of the kinds of Hollywood-produced things that might go in front of films in the 1940s. These were really a different classification of film.
I think you're right in the sense that they were specialized, right? So the movie theater audience, the idea is it's everybody, right? The entire family. It's all classes, right? But these would have been made often for very specific audiences, like the factory worker, you know? Or even you could get down specifics within the factory worker. It would be like the foreman, right, about how to train workers.
Yeah, let's talk about the specificity, because you've organized these films into very tight groupings by subject matter, and I gather from reading some of the notes on the website that these subject headings followed kind of how the library in the 1940s had them. You have agriculture, air raid precautions, child care, health, production, schools and education, war savings, women at war. Those are just a sampling of some of the types of headings, and then each heading has a number of films dedicated to that subject underneath it.
Yeah, exactly. Those headings come from a 1943 catalog that Indiana put out that would be sent to local organizations around the state. And so that was a way to sort of, if there was an agricultural organization that wanted to reach the farmers around the state, these would be films that would be relevant to them. And it would be both be films about how to increase production to help the war effort, or how private individuals could create victory gardens, which they could grow their own vegetables. But it would also just be like, you know, how to increase productivity in general. So sometimes the films didn't discuss the war explicitly, but it was just how whatever walk of life or occupation you had could be directed towards the war effort.
And I guess that's what, you know, we usually think of these as normally educational films, but you're heading propaganda films. All of the countries, or most of them engaged in the war, had some kinds of propaganda films that, whether it was something as innocuous as a victory garden, the purpose of that was really directing people to be a part of that war effort. And I guess that's what makes it a propaganda film.
I think so. And I think the thing that I learned from doing this project is propaganda film, I think of, you know, very specific showing battles or showing the enemy,
right,
in a sort of degrading way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was trying to project the war as a total war that covered every part of daily life. So even things about like cooking and saving the fat. So it really changes the outlook of propaganda in some ways. So we don't have any of them up at this iteration of the exhibition, but there's other films that IU would circulate along under this heading, and there'd be documentaries about going to Brazil, because the United States government really wanted to bring South America onto the Allied side. So this idea that teaching people about South America is part of the war effort expands what we think of as propaganda films in some ways.
Yeah, I think it has a lot of baggage today that it didn't have as a term in the 1940s, and your description of getting across this notion of total war just comes through in so many of these films that are trying to personalize this enormous subject. What can the one individual viewer of this film do in tiny ways that when you magnify it across millions of citizens, you know, has a direct impact on the war?
Yeah, I think that's a great way of describing it. And that was the other thing that became really apparent to me is it sort of points to the value of sort of primary sources going back to the original. You know, like you can sort of read in a sort of history that, you know, everyone, you know, on the home front felt part of the war. But to actually watch these films and get a sense of how that was constructed, the sort of rhetorical devices that the films used to bring people into the war, the ways that they would make people in Indiana think that they were under danger of being bombed and therefore would want to do everything they could to help, you know, the soldiers in Europe and in Asia. It's so explicit in these movies.
Yeah, there's certainly a visceralness of how the war penetrated the lives of everyone in every single way you can imagine. I wanted to ask you, you know, World War II, while we had films in World War I, World War II was really the war that used film to the maximum potential of the medium, I think, for the first time, at least. And you can kind of see that in how these films are put together.
Yeah, and part of it was sort of technological, and this might be a little too specific for, but the, you know, 16 millimeter, which was more of a handheld technology, was invented after World War I. So there's even the simple fact that cameramen could get to places that they couldn't before, and the fact that 16 millimeter was portable projectors and it was inflammable, and so it was safe to show in places. Meant you could show it in all these places around the state. So part of it was that, and part of it was just the war came after two decades of people trying to set up these systems of filmmaking and film circulation for educational purposes, that it was able to really take advantage of what had been created.
You've obviously spent a lot of time poring through your archive and going through a lot of films, some of which are not yet digitized, but I believe there's 117 of these films already in the exhibition. Was there anything that struck you as, you know, having spent a vast amount of time with these films, or a personal favorite that really you responded to?
There's a whole bunch. There's one called Glass versus Bombs, and it was sponsored by the Pittsburgh Plate Glass Company from 1943. It has these sort of fake houses, and it sets off explosions various distances, and then it shows how different types of glass would survive or not survive the explosions. And the idea is how to protect the home front from air raids. And since it was sponsored by a glass company, there's a little bit of an implicit idea that you should buy the more expensive glass.
Right.
So it's not quite war profiteering, and I think a lot of times these companies really were honestly trying to make people safe, but at the same time, you know, they would turn a profit. But it really just goes through all these different sizes bombs, different distances from the windows, and so it really shows the specific film being used as a tool to get this very specific information about that's very different from sort of an entertainment film.
I was really taken with the one Photography Fights, which is really encouraging people who are into photography in some ways to go into the services and talking about the contributions of those who take wartime photography, aerial photography, surveillance photography, and also analyze that photography and their contributions to the war effort.
I think that, you know, they're talking about photography still images and not moving images.
Right.
But in some ways, that's sort of showing the ways that these visual technologies were employed as a war tool, right? You can think of people who would use, you know, in the airplanes, they would take photographs of where the bombing runs would come later and stuff like that. And that actually helped develop other sort of film technologies as well, better cameras. So definitely photography and film was central to the war effort.
I was also really taken, there's a film or two about what African-American students in schools could do. And, you know, these are little windows and that just open up all sorts of thoughts about what our culture was like at that time.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I like this sort of expanded view of propaganda film that looks at every aspect of life. You know, not obviously the films on the sort of battles and war fronts are terrifying and wonderful, but you know, the ways that it explores, I mean, you're right, it explores all the aspects of what was going on culturally, right? And it does sort of try to yoke those to the war effort. But it shows that, I think, in the Negro Colleges in Wartime is the film that you're mentioning, and it shows all the ways that education, right, universities provide a service to the country at large.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been very important for African Americans at the time to see the ways that they could participate in it, both the culture and the war effort. Now, obviously, there was, you know, the fact that they came back from the war, you know, African American soldiers came back from the war and were then, you know, subject to Jim Crow laws.
Right.
And I think in some ways that's one of these issues that come up in looking at these films is the ways that educational films, propaganda films, constructed a cohesive, inclusive nation for the purposes of fighting the war in terms of women working at the factories, women at home.
That's a great way to summarize that it's, you know, the power of film and these short films was not only to document life as it was, but also to mold the life we wanted it to be at the same time as a feedback loop in some ways.
Yeah, precisely. And the people who made these films are really clear about doing that.
Well, it's an excellent and rare opportunity to see in one place a vast range of the types of films made for civilian and military populations during the war. And you and your staff there have done a marvelous job putting these up and making it free to anybody that wants to log in and look at them. So I really appreciate you speaking with us today.
Yeah, thanks. It was a pleasure.
I've been discussing a new online exhibition of World War II propaganda films with Andy Urich, film archivist at Indiana University Libraries Moving Image Archive in Bloomington, Indiana. The exhibition contains 117 films and various supporting materials and is available free of charge. Just search the keywords World War II propaganda films and IU, or visit the university's website at libraries.iub.edu. On Films producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.